one more time. Let's do it. Start or sit for the NFC home games. This is Fantasy Football Today presented by Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. We've got that offer code for you. It's FUN. Enter FUN at checkout for 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. I'm Adam Azer with Jamie Eisenberg. On Thursday, the 31st of December, but you're hearing this on January 1st, and I hope everybody had a great new year, and I hope you're ready for the Oklahoma-Michigan State National Championship game.
Oh, that'd be terrible. You said something factually incorrect.
Okay.
You hope people enjoy their new year. If they're listening to us on the 1st, they're enjoying their new year. You hope everybody had a good New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Jamie on the spot. That's what we should call you, Jamie on the spot.
You know, it feels weird because obviously we've had a lot of people involved in the show this season, from obviously Dave Richard, but Heath Cummings and Nick Costas and
Scott and Chris.
Scott and Chris at various points during the season. So it's a little weird that it's just me and you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we would like to have Dave on for the final one since not too many people are in the office today. It's a holiday for most of the company, but oh, the fantasy football guys, we never stop working for you. And of course, we'll be back during the off season once a week.
But this, I think, should just go to show that I'm the most dedicated person.
I agree. And whether or not you're on time, it doesn't matter because you step up, you pinch hit when needed. And I appreciate that. Now we'll do the NFC home games. I think, the Sunday night game is really interesting. And I think the Arizona Seattle game is really interesting. And, I know you like Eli Manning, so we'll talk about that game. But just a few notes really quickly. We don't have the full updated injury reports. You can tell me if I'm missing anything. Bilal Powell missed practice Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Is there concern about him playing?
I don't think so now, but obviously it's something you have to monitor going into Sunday because clearly that will impact not only him, but would make Chris Ivory that much better.
Johnny Manziel out. Austin Davis will start. And Jonathan Stewart missed practice Thursday. So tell us about the Carolina backfield.
I'd be surprised if he played. I mean, look, they slipped up one game without Stewart in there. They did get good production from Cameron Artis Payne the week before. And without Fozzie Whitaker, we'll see. But, I mean, Carolina should just make sure that guy's 100% healthy for the playoffs.
Well, it makes Cameron Artis Payne pretty interesting, doesn't it?
Yep. Makes him in the number two flex conversation.
All right. So, yeah, that game's coming up. They're playing Tampa Bay at home this week. We'll do three you like, three you don't like, and our normal stuff. If you have any emails, you can still send your emails in. I mean, ask us some 2016 questions, some FanDuel questions for the playoffs. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. Make sure you watch Fantasy Football Today at 11 a.m. Eastern on Sunday morning until 1 p.m. and Eye on Fantasy Football, our radio show on Saturday night.
I got a little tease for you for Sunday, Adam.
Oh, hit me with it.
Dave and I are going to release our top 12 overall players for 2016.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
I was going to do that for the radio show.
Well, you probably can.
All right, I'll do mine.
You won't have mine.
Right. Should we do Dave's or should no? I'll let Dave unveil his on FFT, which is also going to be on CBS Sports Radio.
Yep.
So we can do my top 12, and if you want to call in, tell us your top 12, 855-212-4227 on Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Okay, Jamie, we've been sitting on this email for over a month, and I never really had the right opportunity to read it. It's very long. It's the most heartfelt email that we've ever gotten.
Yes.
And we get, you know, somewhat, I would say infrequently, but it happens. We get some personal stories and some really cool stuff.
Appreciate them greatly.
Yeah, we really do. And I know people really love the podcast, and I know it means a lot to you guys. And I always talk about how much the listeners mean to us, and it is true. But I asked Ricky. He sent us this email. I asked him if we could read it on the air. He gave me the okay. So I want to read this. And everybody, it's a very serious email. He wanted me to read it just in case somebody else went through what Ricky went through. He said, "Dear Adam, Dave, and Jamie, there's no easy way to start this email, so I'll get right to the point. On September 6, 2014, I lost my daughter Alex to a brain tumor. She was 8. I remember waking up the next day in a daze, not really sure of what I should be doing. I asked my wife and she told me that if Alex was here right now, I'd be watching football, so go downstairs and watch football. It was the first Sunday of the regular season. I went downstairs, I watched and cried and watched and cried. I was in so much pain, but with the whistles and the cheers and the tackles, they brought a bit of normalcy back to me. Alex knew how much I love football and would sometimes sit and watch games with me. The last game we watched together was my Denver Broncos taking on the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. The game didn't go how I would have liked, but I will remember it forever. Since her diagnosis, I'd been working from home so I could be with her, but now I was expected to go back to work. I hadn't really spoken with too many people since we lost her, mostly my wife and a few close friends, but now I was back in the office surrounded by people. Luckily, I sat in the corner with not too many people around, and the ones that were near knew I wasn't going to be saying much. I started working, and I put in my headphones. Instant mistake. Almost every song I had some kind of memory attached to it. I figured I can listen to a podcast, but the only one I had was a different fantasy football podcast. I used to listen to them every day while I drove Alex to radiation treatment because it helped take my mind off what I was doing. She used to sit in the back and dance the theme song while playing on her Kindle. This also didn't work for me. I couldn't make it past the theme song. My first day back, I sat at my desk with my headphones, listening to nothing. So I talked to my friend about it that night. He suggested a few history podcasts, On the Couch with Sigmund Bloom, and Fantasy Football Today. Before then, I had never heard of your show, but decided I needed to try something. I almost instantly became hooked. Listening to you three was like being part of a conversation with your buddies. Talking about football, giving each other a hard time, and just enjoying where you are. It helped a lot, actually. I would sometimes listen to the same podcast 4 or 5 times a day. I honestly don't know if I would have gotten through those first 6 weeks without your podcast. I had friends and family that tried to offer support, but everyone kind of looks at you differently. They're scared to talk to you, and some don't even look you in the eye. It was nice just to be able to escape and feel like I was part of something normal. Not only was it helping my spirit, but it was also helping my gameplay as well. I made the playoffs in all 3 leagues, and I won 2 of them. It was the first time I had ever won in 10-plus years of playing. I believe your podcast played a role in that. On your podcast, you often mention how much you appreciate your fans. Well, as a fan, I want to say how much I appreciate you. Dave, your off-the-cuff humor that you bring to every episode and your honesty. Jamie, your straight-to-the-point analysis and the way you present it. Adam, you get a ton of grief on a daily basis, and you do it all with a smile. I appreciate that. And last year, I picked up Odell Beckham Jr. because of you. I really appreciate that. My life is different now. My family and I moved from Kansas to Texas. I work from home permanently. Dealing with the loss is still a daily struggle, but luckily I still have Fantasy Football Today to help. I wanted to write this for a long time, but it is not an easy subject for me. Seriously, thanks for the work you do. You're doing more than just helping people with their lineups, and I thought you should know that. Ricky.
Well, Adam, I mean, obviously, if you've ever lost somebody, getting over that is not easy. I mean, you know, I think certainly you hear his story, and you know, we don't really talk about our listeners and our audience very much. I've had the benefit of, you know, reaping the rewards of our audience with what happened with my mom and how everybody responded to that. And, you know, Dave and I and you as well, you know, we get interaction from our Twitter followers and the emails, and it's overwhelming, and we don't say thank you enough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this time of year is certainly the time to say thank you. So everybody who's still listening at this point in the season, in the off season, we are blown away day by day by day with just how grateful you guys are to the, you know, enjoyment that we have. And the reason we have so much fun is because of you guys.
I think the reason why the podcast is my favorite thing to do, and it's most people at the company, it's their favorite thing to do, is because of the connection with the listeners.
Yep.
And when we did an event before the 2014 season in Foxborough, we had people come up, and I guess it's just, it's kind of hit me. Somebody, you know, Dave one time, if you're a fairly new listener, Dave stole my laptop and tweeted, "I like cats." And it launched this whole thing about me loving cats for like 2 years now. And somebody brought a cat magazine and made me autograph it. And I was like, oh, wow, they are in our inside jokes. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Now, I forgot to read a P.S. from Ricky. He says, P.S., I hate to say it, but Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. My wife watches a lot of Christmas movies, and never once has that been an option. Yeah, I know.
Now,
you're not going to disagree with him.
We're glad to hear Ricky's story, but the only reason you read this email was because of that.
No, not quite. All right, let's talk football here. Thank you all for letting me share that, and thank you, Ricky, for writing in, and you will always be a part of the Fantasy Football Today family. All right, 3 you like and 3 you don't. You know, Dave gave me 3 and 3, so I'll just read his, and you can tell me how you feel about it. He likes to watch.
I can't even go first when Dave's not here.
I always let Dave go first. He likes DeMarco Murray at the Giants. Do you?
I kind of do. You know, I thought even before Chip Kelly got fired that they were just gonna, you know, they had nothing to lose, so see what Murray would give him in potentially his final game. And now that with Kelly out, you have to wonder if there was a conversation with Jeffrey Lurie to Pat Shurmur that said, just run the guy, see what he has, see if there's anything to help us next year.
Yeah, but you have him 20th, so you don't love him. It's just, it's risky. There's risk there. Yeah. All right, he likes Ted Ginn against Tampa Bay.
It's hard not to like him. You know, he got banged up in last week's game, but prior to that, he's been doing such a great job. If they can't run the ball, this is Cam Newton's go-to receiver, not his go-to guy, but his go-to receiver. And he's a big play threat in a team that allows some big plays.
Zach Miller. I know you like Zach Miller.
Love Zach Miller. He led the team in targets last week without Alshon Jeffrey in there. The Lions stink against tight ends. I believe the stat that you referenced the other day, maybe earlier today. Seven of nine tight ends that have gotten six targets have scored touchdowns against them.
Nope, you wish. How about nine of 10 that have had five targets or more?
Okay.
It might be six targets more, but 9 out of 10 have caught a touchdown.
Yep.
Unbelievable. And yeah, obviously Alshon Jeffrey out. Miller should get those targets. All right, here are your three. Eli Manning against the Eagles.
He knows how to do these closeout games against the Eagles, doesn't he?
This is their third in the last 4 years.
The last two, 21 fantasy points last year. In 2012, he had 38 fantasy points with the 5-touchdown game. I mean, the Eagles are terrible, you know, so Odell Beckham should be inspired and motivated and pissed off and all those things that go into after being suspended, facing a bad team. So he should go off. It could be Tom Coughlin's last game coaching the Giants. I think that'll mean something to these guys, especially Eli. So matchup sets up for him to have a really big game.
And you have him fourth overall. Look at the last six quarterbacks against the Eagles. Jameis Winston, 39 fantasy points. Matthew Stafford, 44. Tom Brady, 36. Tyrod Taylor, only 19. Carson Palmer, only 16. But really, if you watch that game, that was John Brown's fault. And then Kirk Cousins, 40 fantasy points.
Yep.
Now, this one, you like Jordan Matthews. And I can't really make a case against him. His last two games, over 100 yards, he's been a beast. Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's garbage time. A lot of it has come in the fourth quarter. He scored in four of his last five. So, you know, that's somewhat fluky, but the Giants are bad. They're going to be chasing points. And again, coaching change, you know, you tend to see the featured players step up. So I think Sam Bradford actually plays well. I think Matthews plays well. And I think Zach Ertz plays well in this game.
And you like Matt Ryan going up against those New Orleans Saints who give up about 4.5 more fantasy points per game than the second worst team in the NFL against quarterbacks. I mean, they are the worst with a bullet, those Saints. So you like Matt Ryan. How much do you like Matt Ryan this week?
I think he's a top 10 quarterback. You know, the thing that I'm curious to see, and I can tell you, in a second, just how many yards away Julio Jones is from Calvin Johnson's record.
Oh, it's over 200, I think.
It's over 200, but I think they're going to try. And, you know, that's going to be fun to watch. So, you know, he's going to pepper Julio with targets anyway, but it's such an easy matchup for them to have success. It's worth buying into Matt Ryan this week. He could obviously disappoint you. He's been so bad this year and so bad of late. But I think at home against New Orleans, I would trust him this week as a top 10 guy.
Oh, I swear, man. If he does not come through this week, this is a team in New Orleans that has set the NFL record for most passing touchdowns allowed in a single season. It's unbelievable how bad.
And he played well against them. It was a Thursday night game earlier this year. It was in New Orleans. So there's a track record there for him. He's got a good history also against facing them. It's like, he's averaging 22 fantasy points against them in his last seven meetings overall.
And he did score exactly 22 in that Thursday night game. Matt Ryan or Tom Brady?
Oh, I go Brady. Brady's chasing 5,000 yards.
Matt Ryan or Aaron Rodgers?
Ryan.
And Ryan or Wilson?
Ryan. Those are the two big names I would start Ryan over. And I'd start Ryan over Fitzpatrick, too.
Now, was I right? Is it over 200 yards to get to Calvin Johnson?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It was like 260-something. It's a lot. Wow. He's got to have like one of the best games in NFL history. But I think they're going to go after it. It wouldn't make sense not to try since he's so close.
This is the team to do it against.
It really is.
Okay, three you don't like. Dave said Washington players. Agreed?
Yeah.
Okay. We've covered that sufficiently. Golden Tate he doesn't like.
I'm surprised by this because he did score against them the last time these two teams met. He's got a pretty good history against the Bears in his time with the Lions. And I think Stafford's going to be throwing a lot. So I can understand not saying he's a starter, but to say not like, I think he's in that top 30 range, close to being a top 24 guy. Like, you can make a strong argument for him over T.Y. Hilton this week. You can make a strong argument for him over Mike Evans this week. You can make an argument for him even over Sammy Watkins this week. But I understand why he'd be behind those guys. I haven't ranked behind those guys, but I think he's in that conversation.
Well, if you're going to... All right, if we want to talk about Tate here, going up against the Bears, he did have 6 catches, 40 yards, and a touchdown, like you mentioned in the first game against the Bears. And Stafford had just a brilliant game, 41 fantasy points against Chicago earlier this season. Now, for Tate, he is so bad at getting receiving yards. He doesn't even have 80 in a game this year. He has one game in his last 10 with more than 63 receiving yards. Usually he's around 50. So I guess it really comes down to, can Golden Tate score? And if Calvin Johnson's going to be more involved, that obviously hurts his chances.
Yeah, I don't think he's a must-start guy by any stretch, but I don't know if I like would consider him a poor play this week. Like,
okay.
Like Randall Cobb to me is a poor play.
Okay, well, Willie Snead. Now, definitely a good statistical case against Willie Snead as Atlanta very good against wide receivers, especially number two wide receivers. But how do you feel about Snead?
I mean, I think you kind of know what Snead is. A low end number two, high end number three. If you've been starting him all this time, I don't know why you get away from him. He hasn't been less than a number three receiver the last 3 weeks. He's got at least 75 receiving yards in three straight games. It's not like you're going to see this. If Atlanta's offense comes to play, it's going to be a track meet. And it should be. You know, these two teams, I think, will be able to put up points against each other. And Snead is clearly the number two guy behind Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, he just doesn't score touchdowns. He only has three this year. Two of them came against the Giants, that crazy game. All right, would you go, you mentioned some names. Would you start Willie Snead over T.Y. Hilton?
No. It's the same like Golden Tate. They're right in the same boat. You have to really think that they're going to have huge games. I don't think that they'll have huge games, but I think it's going to be very close to those guys of Hilton, Evans, and Cobb, like those guys, you know, that just have been struggling.
Where do you have Tyler Lockett in that group?
Lower.
Just not. All right, we'll get to that game in a second, actually. So here are the three that you don't like. Mike Evans, let's start with him against Carolina.
He's faced Carolina three times in his career. He's got 10 catches for 82 yards and one touchdown combined. The one touchdown was at Carolina last year. He had two catches for 13 yards in that game. If there's ever a scenario for Josh Norman to follow a guy around the field, it's Mike Evans because they have nothing else at their receiving core.
Russell Wilson, you don't like this week. All right, so yeah, let's get into that. How come?
Sure. Well, I there is a scenario where they could start to pull guys off the field. You know, if this game gets out of hand or they're trailing at some point, I don't know why they would leave their guys out there. I know they obviously would like to go into play Washington by comparison to Minnesota or Green Bay. But you can make a case that Washington's the better team of those three teams right now with the way that they're playing. Clearly, it's an easier opponent, but longer road trip. Who knows what their mindset is because they know they have to go on the road regardless in the playoffs. In any event, they don't really have an opportunity to control their own fate about what's going to happen with them because they're at the mercy of Minnesota and Green Bay and what happens in that game. So I think that they could potentially make sure Russell Wilson's 100% going to the playoffs. He's obviously a guy that doesn't deal with injuries, but he did take a big hit last week on his knee in the Rams game. And you look at that game last week, it's really the first tough opponent he's faced since this stretch of great games. And he struggled to get to 22 fantasy points. It was a late touchdown to Jermaine Kearse. His last bad game, 18 fantasy points against Arizona. I just don't see him having a big game comparatively to what we've seen from him the last month or so. And Arizona's got a lot to play for because they can still get the number one overall seed in the NFC.
All right, we know you would start guys like Bortles and Matt Ryan over Russell Wilson. How about Brian Hoyer? I think you said earlier today on yesterday's show that you would start Hoyer over him, right?
I would. I just think there's more upside there. Again, it's going to be close, and Hoyer could have the, you know, the rust factor, but I just don't know if Russell Wilson plays all four quarters.
You have Hoyer, Wilson, and Alex, and no, and Sam Bradford as 12 through 14, and you have Alex Smith 15 in your rankings. And finally, Randall Cobb. Yeah, forget, I hate Randall Cobb.
I mean, you know, he scored against Minnesota the last time. He had, what, 20 yards receiving
to
go with it? Yeah,
it still was a bad game.
Yeah, he's just not playing very well. I mean, I hope he plays well. I really do, because a lot of people still start. I started him in my championship game last week, you know, luckily still won because of it. One fantasy point. He's terrible.
It's so weird. I know that, you know, having a number one outside receiver certainly helps a guy like Randall Cobb, but I really thought he was talented enough to fill the void. I thought he was going to have a great year.
I did too. You know, a lot of it is the offense and the way that they don't necessarily do a lot of unique things to get their receivers open. Mm-hmm. The other part of it is this shoulder injury may have lingered all season long and he's just not, you know, making excuses for himself. But Jordy Nelson should ask for the biggest raise in the history of raises at this point. The other thing, just real quick, if I were to tell you that the Jaguars offense, which Jaguars offense would you like if you're Blake Bortles? Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, or Randall Cobb? Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, or Julius Thomas?
Cobb.
See, Pete Prisco and I have this conversation a lot because they tried to sign Cobb, if you recall.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they used that money to sign Julius Thomas. I think that's a much better offense with those three receivers.
Yeah. I agree. I truthfully, I don't really know what Julius Thomas is as a blocker.
Nah, so, not really.
Yeah. I think Cobb is just a better, if you're talking about a pass catcher, I mean, Cobb is a better player than Julius
Thomas.
That
offense would have been so much fun.
Well, look how, they have a lot of money. I mean, they're going to upgrade their defense.
Yeah, I mean,
got potential.
Pete thinks that they're gonna try and get Josh Norman.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And Eric Weddle.
But also, DeMarcus Ware, is he a free agent? There's some good pass rushers out there.
He said like he's seen Jeremy Fowler in the walking around the building.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like a monster.
Dante Fowler,
excuse me.
Jeremy Fowler, the beat reporter.
Reporter, yes.
Yeah, for ESPN, who used to work for CBS.
Right.
Hey, listen, it's our last chance to thank Squarespace and all of our sponsors for helping us out this year. Squarespace, this is not their first year sponsoring us, so we thank them quite a bit. And I've used Squarespace myself, and I thought it was an outstanding place to build a website. It did not take me long. I found it very easy. Squarespace makes things very simple for you. You don't need to know any coding. You don't need to have any experience. Squarespace, just really a piece of cake to go out and make a website. And it only costs $8 a month. You get a free domain if you sign up for a year. And best yet, it's going to look great. It looks really professional. I mean, that's the key. It looks professional. It looks like, it doesn't look like an amateur created your website. It looks like you got some professional help, which of course is not the case because it's so easy to make a website, an online store, or a portfolio at squarespace.com. Also, state-of-the-art technology powers your site. It's secure, it's stable, and millions of people around the world are using Squarespace. So when it comes time to make your website, go to squarespace.com, start a free trial site with no credit card required, and use our offer code FUN at checkout for 10% off your first purchase. That is Squarespace. Build it beautiful. The two games I want to focus on at the top of this portion of the show are Seattle, Arizona, and Minnesota, Green Bay. Seattle, Arizona. The first meeting, 39-32, Arizona. Now, are you mostly concerned about Seattle, you know, potentially pulling their starters, or are you also concerned about the matchup?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I mean, you know, you see, I don't know if Russell Okung's going to play for Seattle. He missed last week's game against St. Louis. That's a big piece of their offensive line, obviously. Their second cornerback situation's a mess, you know, opposite Richard Sherman. Floyd beat Sherman for a touchdown in the first game. So offensively, Arizona's clicking right now, and they're clearly motivated to play their guys. The one guy you may see come off the field sooner rather than later is David Johnson.
I have a slightly different take on this game from Seattle's standpoint. I think it's important for them to go out and put up a good performance. I think if they want to, maybe this doesn't matter to them, but if they want to, you know, be contenders, you gotta play well at Arizona, probably the best team in the conference, them or the Panthers. And they're not gonna want to go 0-2 against Arizona. I think they bring it, and I don't think they view this as just like, we're gonna get in the playoffs, we can pull our guys.
No, I wouldn't approach it that way. I think they're gonna play their guys for probably a half, if not three quarters. But they're one dimensional now. They don't have a running game.
And well, so that's true.
Is Russell Wilson that great of a quarterback? And I don't want to make this about him being bad, because he's not. But is he that great of a quarterback against a great defense to overcome knowing what's coming?
Well, do we know, by the way, about Rashad Johnson, his status?
I don't know. I can look it up.
I would like to know what this Arizona secondary is going to look like when they're facing a team that has a competent offensive line and not that pathetic performance that Green Bay put out last week. You know, so if that Green Bay game never happened, I'm not that worried about Russell Wilson going into this matchup, because I saw what Arizona's secondary looked like with Tyrann Mathieu but without Rashad Johnson. Now, if they're out without both of them, I still want to see them get tested. And we didn't really see that last week because they got 8 sacks on Aaron Rodgers.
They did, but, I mean, look what happened to Seattle at home against St. Louis, and I would say that Arizona's defense is better than St. Louis at this point.
Yeah, I know. Just St. Louis has Seattle's number, and they scored 32 points on them last time.
One of them was a defensive touchdown.
Okay, yeah. Wilson scored 18 fantasy points.
I think he's in that range. I don't see him having... I mean, it took a garbage time touchdown to Jermaine Kearse to get him to 22.
You're right.
You know, he would have been around 15.
Well, okay, so what about Doug Baldwin then? Where do you have Doug Baldwin this week?
Low number two guy.
So that one's confusing to me, because he had a huge game. He had 7 for 134 and a touchdown.
He did,
in the first
meeting. You saw last week Peterson went into the slot a little bit and covered Randall Cobb, and I wonder if he does the same thing this week against Baldwin.
Okay.
Look, you're not benching Doug Baldwin.
Well, you are. I mean,
no, I'm not. I'm still saying start him.
Yeah, but for championship week, I mean, if you have him in your 20s, there's a lot of owners that are going to be benching him.
Well, I mean, okay. If he gives you three quarters of a game. Would you start him? If I told you right now he's playing three quarters.
I don't really, no, I wouldn't. But I just don't know about that scenario. It seems, it's interesting.
I don't know either. I'm just guessing. If I'm Seattle and I've dealt with all these injuries throughout the course of the season, the last thing I want to see in a game that only determines do we go to Green Bay, Minnesota, or Washington, mm-hmm. or do we have all our guys healthy? I want all my guys healthy.
I want to go to Washington.
About trying to play well against a contender.
I want to go to Washington.
Last week, they were playing as well as anybody in the NFL.
So look, to lay it out, they're locked into a wild card. And it's either going to be the 5 or the 6, as Jamie mentioned. The 6 seed is going to face the 4 seed, which will be the winner of the Green Bay. No, sorry. The 6 seed will be, so we're facing the 3 seed, right, which is going to be Green Bay or Minnesota.
Right.
And the 5 seed faces Washington. I think there's a lot of incentive to be the 5 seed.
Okay, but let me ask you this right now. Neutral field, who wins the game, Packers, Redskins?
Packers. And I believe in the Redskins.
I agree with you, but I don't think it's a slam dunk.
No, this might be a weird answer, and maybe I'm the only one who feels this way. Regular season, maybe it's the Redskins, but postseason, I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers over Kirk Cousins. Maybe I'm putting too much stock into that, but I think that makes a difference.
I don't disagree with you, but I don't think it's like when we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, it was a slam dunk. You do not want to go into Lambeau. You'd rather go into Washington.
It was more about Washington than Green Bay. But yeah, I've definitely changed my mind on the Redskins. I do think they're a pretty solid team. I don't think they're great. They have no running game. But I think Seattle beats them in the playoffs. And I don't know that Seattle goes to Green Bay.
But I think Seattle beats any of these teams, if they're right.
Yeah. All right, I see your point. So just get right and choose your matchup, or let your matchup decide itself, whatever. All right. So interesting approach there. You're not starting a Seattle running back, right?
You can't. You don't know who it's going to be. I actually think Fred Jackson's probably the most upside of the group.
Now, looking at Arizona, do you downgrade any Cardinals in this matchup, or do you think they do their thing on offense?
I mean, they went into Seattle and did whatever they wanted to do. Drew Stanton was doing a dance on the sideline.
Yeah, he sure was.
I can't see a situation where, you know, David Johnson's just so versatile, catching the ball in the backfield. He can run between the tackles. He can get outside. The receivers, you can't put Sherman on any one guy because Palmer will just beat them up everywhere else. You know, to me, it's all systems go.
And Carolina is playing at the same time. They're both 4:25 p.m. Eastern time games, so Arizona does have incentive to win.
Well, you know Bruce. I mean, he's going to, if they didn't have incentive to win, he'd be playing their guys.
Of course he would. All right, Seahawks DST is 12th for Jamie and 14th for Dave, and Cardinals DST is 9th for Jamie and 6th for Dave. So would you gamble on the Rams over these DSTs?
Over the Seahawks, yeah. I mean, okay. Blaine Gabbert's been sacked 16 times in his last game.
Ooh. Minnesota and Green Bay. How do you think this one plays out? I have really no idea what to think here.
I think this is a game where Eddie Lacy can have some success. He's got a good track record against the Vikings. I think Rodgers does enough to get you in that 22-point range, which is kind of where he's been living. Who does well from the Packers receiving standpoint, I don't know. You know, because you can't feel comfortable starting any of the three guys. But we've seen it. You know, I mean, Davante Adams catches a touchdown, doesn't do much with it. The game, previous game, James Jones had a big game. Cobb scores a touchdown. Rodgers could run for one. So I think you start Rodgers, but who knows how this all plays out. And then for Minnesota, I mean, it's AP. He's going to be their guy.
And, obviously Peterson. Is he the only guy you're starting for Minnesota?
Yeah, if I'm stuck at tight end, you know, if maybe you don't feel comfortable with Barnage because of the Austin Davis factor, or, you know, you've been streaming guys all the way to this point in the season. You know, Kyle Rudolph did have 100 yards and a touchdown against them last time.
Right, so how come he's so low for you? Dave has Rudolph in his top 9. You have Rudolph 14th.
I just don't think he's consistent. And the guys I have ahead of him, I feel more comfortable with.
And those are guys like who?
Will Ty, Zach Ertz, Zach Miller. You know, the three guys who have been picked up over the last couple weeks. I still would start Barnage over him, personally. I would start Tyler Eifert coming back from the concussion over him.
Okay.
The guy that I go back and forth with Rudolph is Jacob Tammy because of the matchup against the Saints.
Yeah. All right. Well, Rudolph, like I mentioned, 14th for Jamie. Aaron Rodgers, 11th for Jamie and 10th for Dave. Over under 22 fantasy points for Rodgers.
I'll say over, but 23.
Okay. All right, let's do some Eddie Lacy comparisons. Lacy or Sharkhandrick West?
I have to move Lacy up because just looking at the track record, it's better. So I'd take Lacy over West.
All right, Lacy or Mike Evans?
Lacy standard, Evans PPR.
Really? Okay. Lacy or Devontae Freeman?
Oh, Freeman.
Lacy or Tim Hightower?
Hightower. Hightower is a top 10 guy for me.
Okay. Hey, on FanDuel, I don't know what the price is for Eddie Lacy, but doesn't sound like Jamie's thrilled with him. I think Tim Hightower might be a better option for you on FanDuel. FanDuel.com, the leader in one-week fantasy football. And yes, we have to thank FanDuel for sponsoring our show all throughout the season. And testimonial, I freaking love on playing on FanDuel. I play every week now. Thank goodness it's back in New York, and I really missed it while it was gone. And FanDuel is something that you should definitely be taking part of. I play NBA on FanDuel. That's a lot of fun. We help you out with our Daily Fantasy Live podcast with Heath Cummings and Chris Towers and the video show as well. If you need any FanDuel advice, we've got it there for you. So make sure you go to FanDuel.com. The money's real. We got plenty of emails and tweets from our listeners. Hey, I won $500. I won $1,400 on FanDuel. That could be you, and you could turn $1 into hundreds or thousands of dollars because it starts at just $1. FanDuel does not cost you a lot. It's not a big time commitment. It's not a financial commitment. You don't have to make waiver claims. You don't have to worry about stupid trades in your league and collusion and those things and, you know, stat corrections at the beginning of week 16. Forget that. Just go on FanDuel and enjoy some good old-fashioned fantasy football. Let's look at the Falcons and the Saints, Jamie. 31-21 on a Thursday. The Saints won the first meeting. That was early this season. I know you like Matt Ryan. Devontae Freeman, top four running back. Can't get away from him. And, of course, we're starting Julio Jones. Anyone else for Atlanta?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised in a FanDuel situation if you got a good game from Jacob Tammy just because how bad the Saints are against tight ends. But that's clearly a risk because we've seen him have some good matchups before and be disappointing.
Maybe this is finally the week where Freeman goes nuts again.
It should be. He had a great game against them last time. That was a Thursday night game.
Yep, that was 156 total yards and two touchdowns. Okay, then, to the Saints. Drew Brees, you have him seventh. Dave has him third. He's playing very well right now. Any concerns at all? Atlanta has a, you know, seemingly good defense, and this is a road game for Brees.
Yeah, you said it. That's why he's not in my top five. You know, we've seen him struggle on the road, and I'm surprised Dave likes him as high as he does, given that he does not like Willie Snead, because Ben Watson is banged up and not played well on the road. And so you're really counting on Brandon Cooks, who's not played well on the road, to have a big game, and maybe, you know, Tim Hightower or Travis Cadet catching the ball in the backfield. I don't know where the monster game comes from. He'll be above 20 fantasy points. I think that should be a given, but how high of a ceiling compared to where he's been the last few weeks? I think you're looking at maybe closer to the Tampa Bay game, his last game on the road when he was 23 fantasy points.
And you like Tim Hightower a lot.
I do. You know, no Paul Soliai. That's been a big, you know, cog for this Atlanta run defense. You know, Mark Ingram had 46 yards rushing in the first game, 20 carries, 46 yards rushing, two touchdowns. 17 fantasy points is what he came away with. I think Hightower is probably closer to, you know, 12 to 15. He's going to run better, but he's not going to have two touchdowns.
Would you start Hightower over Adrian Peterson?
No, but they're back-to-back in my rankings. Peterson is fifth, Hightower sixth.
Would you start Hightower over David Johnson, who's going up against Seattle?
No.
Would you start Hightower over James White?
Yes.
Okay. Ding, ding, ding. And I think we talked about the Saints receivers. You're okay with Snead, and you love Brandon Cooks. He's sixth for you.
It's hard to get away from him.
Yeah. He does have five combined fantasy points in his last two road games at Houston and at Tampa Bay.
Yep. So but he's on you know, indoors.
Yep. Okay. All right. We'll see. And Ben Watson, you just worried about the injury because you have him eighth. Atlanta's not very good. They allow the sixth most fantasy points to tight ends. This is a weakness for them. Even though getting better, they've done pretty well against Greg Olsen and Julius Thomas lately. So maybe not so much of a weakness anymore. Number 8 for you, number 13 for Dave in standard, number 10 for you, number 14 for Dave in PPR, Ben Watson.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know Dave probably has, based on what we talked about earlier, Kyle Rudolph over Watson. There's no way I'm doing that. But I could certainly start Zach Ertz and Zach Miller over him without question.
But you have him 8th and 10th only because of the health?
You mean that why I'm that low?
Yes.
Yes, because of health. And look, Atlanta, they have played better.
Yeah. All right, well, the Giants and the Eagles have not played better really in any facet. Maybe offensively, Giants starting to run the ball a little bit. Don't pay attention to what happened in the first meeting. The Giants cannot play in Philadelphia. They just can't. They're just like, nope, can't play here. But at home, it's a different story. These two teams, after New Orleans, are the two worst in fantasy points allowed to opposing quarterbacks. So
yep.
I know how much you like Eli. How about Rashad Jennings? Talk about Rashad Jennings. Compare him to Eddie Lacy this week.
I think you got to like Jennings just a slight bit more because what we've seen the last three games from him has been pretty impressive. I don't know what's happened. What was the case earlier this season? I know we talked about this on Tuesday. Why did they not go to him more often? Was it injury concern? Was it really Orleans Darkwa and Andre Williams looking that good in practice? Was it the offensive line? And,
no, it was stupidity. Finally... It was stupidity.
So, you know, Jennings, three straight games with at least 10 fantasy points. He's caught the ball out of the backfield and done a nice job there. Scored a touchdown against the Dolphins. I mean, Philadelphia is just not very good defensively right now all the way around. And so you have to wonder where their motivation is defensively as a whole. So I think Jennings, you have to really consider a very high-end number two running back this week.
Who would you prefer as a flex, Rashad Jennings or Jordan Matthews?
Jennings.
Okay. Odell Beckham, start him. He is your number one wide receiver.
I to be honest, I had a tough time with who the number one guy was going to be because I do think Julio is going to chase the record. So he could have a big day. Antonio Brown against the Browns is a big day. DeAndre Hopkins against Jacksonville is a big day, especially with Hoyer back. But I think this is a $150 and three touchdowns from Beckham.
Yeah. He's gonna
like he's worth every cent on FanDuel, even though everybody's going to play him.
And Reuben Randle is interesting. This is like a weird upside FanDuel play for Reuben Randle, who's scored a lot of touchdowns lately. But this is, I don't know what to make of this, but at home against the Eagles, he has played three home games against the Eagles, and he has had three huge games, 17 fantasy points, 21 fantasy points, and 15 fantasy points. It's just a weird thing, but he goes crazy against the Eagles at home, especially when it's the last game of the year.
Yeah, we had an argument about this a couple years ago, right?
Did we?
You and I?
Tell me, refresh my memory.
Or maybe you and I were arguing for the same thing. I thought there was something about Reuben Randle in week 17 where we were, I thought you were against it for some reason.
Oh, I may have been. I can't stand Reuben Randle.
So I understand that.
It's possible. But you only have him as a number three receiver.
Well, I mean, he's still Reuben Randle.
Yeah, he sure is. He sure is.
But like you said, he's a good fan to play. There's a bunch of third receiver type guys that you can put in FanDuel, like Nate Washington, Reuben Randle. I'm trying to think of the other guys in that group.
But what about like a Jamison Crowder?
He's interesting. I don't know if he'll score. I would stay away from the Redskins altogether if you can.
Kind of weird that going back to the Saints-Falcons and just looking for a daily fantasy play, the number two receivers have typically been better than the number one receivers against the Saints. I don't think that continues, but let me look it up here. We got, okay, Jamison Crowder was better than DeSean Jackson.
Talked about this going into the game with the Jaguars last week.
Yes, Cecil Shorts was better than DeAndre Hopkins. Adam Humphries better than Mike Evans. Golden Tate better than Calvin. And Allen Hurns actually did outscore Allen Robinson 22-21 last week. So that's the last 6 weeks it's happened five times.
And Marquise Lee also scored.
Yeah. So, I mean, gosh, Roddy White? Really?
No.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I'd be shocked if Julio has less than 150 yards, I'd be so surprised.
All right. So, to the Eagles now. Sam Bradford, you have him 14th. I don't understand it. He can throw for 360 yards and 380 yards and still score 20 fantasy points and 19 fantasy points.
Yeah, it's Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. Maybe they're just going to run for touchdowns here, but, you know, Bradford's not a bad play against this horrible team. Oh, I skipped Will Tye for the Giants. You like Tye enough?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's in that Ben Watson, Gary Barnage,
Tyler Eifert group.
Tyler Eifert, Travis, Kyle Rudolph
right.
discussion.
All right, Philadelphia running backs, your take.
I think this is going to be a DeMarco Murray game, but, you know, we talked about this the other day that Sproles on any type of surface is always good. And I guess we came to the conclusion that the Giants play on field turf. So that's a good scenario for him. I don't know what his track record is. I could look it up in MetLife Stadium. I don't want to trust Darren Sproles. He's a, you know, gamble flex option, better in a tournament type of play on FanDuel than must start guy.
Jordan Matthews, you're very high on. Matthews or Baldwin?
I'd gamble on Matthews.
Matthews or Watkins?
I'd gamble on Matthews.
Woo! Any other Philadelphia wide receivers?
You know, Aguilar, if you're really desperate, just because I think they're going to, you know, throw the ball a ton.
Are you worried at all about them folding with Chip Kelly fired?
Well, you got Bradford playing for a contract. I would imagine DeMarco Murray's probably, you know, enthused by this.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? It's really hard to say. I just think that it's not a long road trip. Giants clearly have a bad defense, so these guys can put up eye-popping numbers that help their contract situations, you know, whoever those guys may be, Bradford clearly being one of them. Whenever you have the quarterback set to go out and play, we had this discussion going into last Thursday night's game between the Chargers and the Raiders. Like, Pete Prisco was convinced after the Chargers had that emotional victory against the Dolphins, there's no chance they come to play. And then he said, after thinking about it, he's like, there's no chance Rivers doesn't come to play.
Yeah.
And so when your quarterback has a good game, that typically is going to elevate the guys around you if, in fact, they are playing well and the guys are playing for him.
Do you see what Lane Johnson said about Chip Kelly? He said he's a brilliant coach, but he's just a taskmaster and he's, you know, trying to be in control of everything and he, you know, like a dictator essentially. And I thought it was really interesting. It's probably the number one issue that Kelly had. I mean, the guy obviously has a good offensive mind, but he just tried to control everything and the practices. That was a big issue with the players. You know, they wore down. They wore down. He said, nobody else is practicing like we practice. We practice the same from training camp through the end of the season. You just can't do that.
It's funny because it sounds very similar. I was around. I wasn't covering the team as much as I did when I first started, but I was around the Nick Saban era for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And very similar, that you can control everything you want in college.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically have a no salary cap system in college. Not that they're paying players, but you know, you get whoever you want. You know, if guys want to come there and sign scholarships for you, you don't have that same situation in the NFL because there is salary cap restrictions. You can't just all of a sudden get the best all-star team that you could field like you can in college.
Yep.
And, it's a little different when you're dealing with grown men.
You got to sit. You got to start Zach Ertz. You got to sit some good tight ends for Zach Ertz. Dave and Jamie both have him number three overall in both formats. We know how bad the Giants are against tight ends, and Ertz has been very involved.
37 targets in his last three games.
Wow. All right. Detroit and Chicago. Chicago running backs, go.
I'm still starting Forte over Langford, but if I'm, you know, looking at it again, FanDuel, you always want to find like one cheap option that you think can go off, and Langford could be that guy.
Really?
Because if Forte's got this back problem, he gets more work. We'll find out, you know, when you're listening to this, you know, come Friday or Saturday, you know, where Forte is at. He's been limited in practice, you know, Wednesday and Thursday. So still dealing with this problem. And Langford is, the talk is, it's going to be interesting to see the two guys that could be really impactful for fantasy owners next year. Thomas Rawls, I think, is the obvious one if he's the starter for the Seahawks. And Jeremy Langford, if he's the starter for the Bears. These two rookies could be really good next year.
So you're going to start Rashad Jennings over Forte?
I'm not there yet, but, you know, if Forte misses practice Friday, obviously I'll be there.
Okay, so we'll have to take a wait-and-see approach there. And start any Chicago wide receivers?
No, just Zach Miller.
Yeah, Zach Miller is number five for you in both formats, number four for Dave. And Detroit allows the third most fantasy points to opposing tight ends, and we did talk about that stat. You get the targets, you get the touchdowns against Detroit. Matthew Stafford, 41 fantasy points in the first meeting. You think he has a good game or a great game this week, Stafford?
Good game. I mean, that was at home, and we've seen what his numbers have been at home. But you know what the floor is with him in the Jim Bob Cooter era.
Mm-hmm.
19 fantasy points. He hasn't been below that since their bye week. So he hasn't been great on the road, outdoors, as he has been at home. You know, his best game out on the road so far was at New Orleans. But you got to buy into Calvin Johnson's track record against the Bears. It's fantastic. Stafford needs one touchdown to get to 30. He's going to get there. I'd be shocked if he didn't. So he's definitely worth starting this week. You know, he's a top 10 quarterback, and I would start him over Rodgers and Russell Wilson.
Do you have any interest in a Lions running back?
No. Theo Riddick has typically been the best guy this season consistently.
Ugh. All right, Washington, Dallas. So we talked about Golden Tate. So Washington, Dallas, start anyone in this game other than Darren McFadden?
No. I mean, Pierre Thomas is a little bit interesting because of the work that he had last week, but can you really start Pierre Thomas with any confidence, not knowing what's going to happen? So you mentioned Jameson Crowder. He's somebody I think to keep an eye on, but I just... yeah, I'd stay away.
Okay, McFadden or Forte?
McFadden.
You think McFadden has like a big game against Washington backups?
I do. I mean, look, he scored against them the last time. It was, you know, a bad game for him because he fumbled twice in that game and came out with a concussion, at least concussion symptoms, and came back into the game. But I think just the way that he's been running, the offensive line's still good. So I think you look at McFadden and Gore are two very interesting guys because the offense around them based on quarterbacks are bad. Obviously the Colts still have receivers, but I think even if Washington was coming to play, I'd still start McFadden with Washington potentially resting some guys. He has, he's already set a career high, a season high for carries. McFadden, I think it's 8 touches away from most touches in a season. So he's been better than anybody could have imagined. Oh, yeah.
I have a theory, Jamie. My theory is that the Cowboys' offensive line is so good that it helps keep these running backs healthy.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing when you're getting hit by a 300-pound defensive lineman behind the line of scrimmage by comparison to a defensive back, you know, hitting you once you break through the line.
Right. And now 2 years in a row, two of the most injury-prone players in football have made it through an entire season.
So if they don't do anything significant next year, let's say it's McFadden, Robert Turbin, a 6th-round rookie, and somebody else. How high would you draft McFadden?
2nd round.
Wow.
Late 2nd, early 3rd.
Wow. I was going to say 4th.
He's been really good.
He has, but he's also getting up in age. And
here's the thing. I feel like if I got his handcuff, that handcuff would probably be pretty solid. So
it's Turbin. You feel comfortable with Turbin?
Has to be him.
Well, that's the scenario I'm posing to you. McFadden, Turbin, 6th-round rookie. The Jay Ajayi type, you know, guy that falls in the draft.
Yeah, you know, I really feel like if Romo's healthy and that offensive line is there, you could plug in most running backs and have a good year.
I think that, you know, we've talked about this obviously a lot with Stephen O because of his Ravens affinity. Dallas and Baltimore are going to be the two teams that if you want to, you know, place bets on.
Yeah.
To bounce back and exceed their win total. Those
oh,
are the two
God.
Teams.
Oh, yeah. They could both be well set up. All right. Tampa Bay at Carolina. 37-23 Panthers in the first meeting. Cam Newton is your number one quarterback. How about Cameron Artis Payne this week? Against a rushing defense that allows 3.4 yards per carry, has struggled a little bit lately, though.
I think he's in the back end number two discussion. You know, he's in the Lamar Miller, Danny Woodhead,
Buck Allen,
Bilal Powell, you know, those type of guys that it's not a slam dunk that they're going to play well, but could have an opportunity. He actually had a good yards per carry last week. He just didn't get a lot of work. And so now Fozzie Whitaker's out. If Jon Stewart doesn't play, it's his show. You know, it's just a matter of how much to lean on him. And I would imagine if they're up big, that's a guy that they can lean on. So he's not a horrible play this week, but like you said, Tampa Bay's run defense has been good.
Okay. Ted Ginn or Jordan Matthews?
Matthews.
Ted Ginn or Jarvis Landry?
Ginn.
Ted Ginn or Frank Gore?
I'll go Gore standard, Ginn PPR.
Start Greg Olsen. He's your number two tight end. No concerns about Doug Martin. You have him 7th. Dave has him 10th in standard, 12th in PPR. You're cool with Doug Martin?
I mean, he's going to get so much work. He's still chasing the rushing title. I think even if they're losing big, he'll still be in the game late. So, no, I have no concern about it.
Okay, and don't start Austin Seferian Jenkins. Carolina DST is number 3 for Jamie, number 5 for Dave. Anyone other than Todd Gurley in the Rams-Niners game?
Anquan Boldin's got a good track record against the Rams. You know, we talked about this a little bit on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And the last 6 teams to face St. Louis, a receiver has had double-digit fantasy points. 5 of them have been number one guys. The one guy not to do it was Calvin Johnson, but Golden Tate scored twice. So I think you look at Bolden's targets have been pretty consistent with Gabbert. I don't think they'll have a lot of success running the ball because they don't really have a good running game to speak of. So they'll be throwing a lot, and I think Bolden could be his last game in San Francisco. He's a free agent this offseason. So I think he's a low-end number two guy.
Your top 4 running backs this week, just to show you what has happened to the position. D'Angelo Williams, Devontae Freeman, Todd Gurley, David Johnson. The only one of them that began the year as a starter for his team was D'Angelo Williams, which was because of a Le'Veon Bell suspension. That's something. Then it's Adrian Peterson, then it's, Tim Hightower, of course. So, how about that, running backs?
Yeah, I mean, I think Gurley has a big game here.
Oh, the Florida State Seminoles have scored. Of course, nobody's going to care because it's, you know, Friday when you're listening. But I'm enjoying some football, Jamie. It's a great time of year. A lot of good football happening. Emails. Time for emails. This is from Kenneth. A serious mistake was made on Wednesday's show. When answering my question on DSTs, there was a shout-out that I was from California, but I'm actually from Pittsburgh. So now you have to rank these five running backs for DFS. DeMarco Murray, Darren McFadden, Carlos Williams, D'Angelo Williams, Doug Martin, and Frank Gore.
So are we taking into account salary or just ranking them?
Let's have some fun and we'll take into account salary. Let me see if I can pull up a league. Meanwhile, he says also, Adam Sandler had a stronger peak as a comedian, but Will Ferrell has withstood time better. Think about it. SNL, Talladega Nights, Eastbound and Down, etc.
I mean, was Get Hard a good movie?
Walk Hard?
No, Get Hard.
What is that?
That's the one he did with Kevin, what's his name? Kevin Hart.
Well, Walk Hard was, oh, that movie? Oh, God. Kevin Hart is my least favorite ever.
Right, now he's got this new movie coming out. Daddy's Coming Home, I think it's called?
Daddy's Home, yeah. That movie got terrible reviews. I actually wanted to see it because I really liked the movie The Other Guys. And it was the two of them again. And I wanted to see it.
Yeah, no.
Okay. All right, so here are your running back prices. And the thing is with Sandler is like, he faded, but it was on purpose. You know, he changed. That's what pisses me off. So who are these running backs again? D'Angelo Williams, he's the most expensive at $8,200.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Martin is $7,600.
Mm-hmm.
McFadden is $7,200. And the others are DeMarco Murray and who? And Gore?
Gore.
Gore is $6,600. And DeMarco Murray, where are you, DeMarco Murray? You are $5,900.
So I think in this case, it's worth spending on D'Angelo as one of the more obvious guys that people will use, and then you want to go the other direction about somebody people will run away from. And so in that case, it might be DeMarco Murray, because Murray could have a 2-touchdown game against the Giants just because of the workload and the defense he's facing.
All right, next one is from Scott in a city west of California. West of California. That could be like Japan.
Honolulu?
Yeah, or Honolulu. He says, Dear Bob, Larry, Mercury, and Garrow. Who's Garrow?
Dolphins.
Yeah, who's Garrow?
Your Permian?
Oh, okay. Thank you, South Florida guy. Okay, listening to the podcast helped me make the playoffs in my three fantasy leagues and taking home one championship. However, not all was yippee-ki-yay in the playoffs.
I like this guy already.
One of my teams was undefeated heading into the playoffs. My PPR team was stacked, but still luckily dodged a couple bullets to finish the perfect regular season. So, my perfect season dreams went up in flames in the semifinals, and I can hear the popping of the champagne corks at the 72 Dolphins celebrating their status as the only undefeated season. Funny thing was, the league I won the championship was for money. The undefeated league is just for fun. But I would rather have finished the undefeated season than take home the money. Is that nuts?
Yes.
I don't know, man. I've never had an undefeated fantasy season. That would be pretty cool.
Okay, here's $100. Here's something that you could smile about. What are you gonna take?
Okay, $100. I'd probably take the undefeated season. If we're talking like $500,
$200.
Yeah, I'll take the money.
I thought you would.
Gary Upremian is such a funny looking guy. What a great.
You know that he has one of the worst plays in NFL history, right?
No, maybe. Tell me.
They almost blew their undefeated season in the Super Bowl when he attempted a pass.
Oh, right.
Botched field goal that was returned for a touchdown.
Yeah. I swear I knew that.
By his entire team.
But it wasn't called?
No.
Oh, boy, that's bad. All right, a couple more here from.
It was like you throwing a pass.
Oh, please. This, no name here, but it says, Dear Getty, Alex, and Neil. That's probably Rush. They suck, so please don't ever email in with that again. Would you say that the way you look at players going into the fantasy draft changes at all next year or stays the same with the way players have performed this year?
We got an email from somebody, and I apologize for not remembering it, that said that they took Rob Gronkowski and won their championship, and the difference that they felt was that Gronk was not bad. you know, as a first round pick.
Consistent, no bust. Yeah.
Right. I mean, he got hurt and you know, you missed a couple games with him. And so it made me just start to think about how high do I want to put receivers by comparison to running back? So I know we teased a little bit that we're going to have our top 12, and I just been thinking about it. I haven't put anything to, you know, paper or on the computer yet, but in my mind, I'm going Antonio Brown, number one overall.
Hey, cool.
Odell Beckham, number two overall.
Hmm.
And Gronk, number three overall.
Wait a second. Why not Julio?
I think you look at what those other two guys are in terms of their touchdown potential. Julio's going to be probably fourth, and then the running backs start to come in.
Yeah, I like Julio better than Beckham in PPR, though.
I can understand that, sure.
But things have to change, because if the Falcons add a wide receiver, that changes things maybe a little bit.
Well, they also may have a new coordinator, and the thing that, you know, we don't like Kyle Shanahan for Ryan, but Kyle Shanahan for number one receivers is unbelievable, mm-hmm. because all he does is pepper those guys with targets.
Mm-hmm. All right, last one here. This is from DJ from the northernmost town in New York State. I don't know. Niagara Falls?
Sure.
No idea. Dear Carl, Jarvis, and Tom. Oh, Landry's.
Carl, Jarvis, and Tom.
Landry's.
Who?
Landry's.
Okay.
Yeah, Carl Landry from the Kings. Mm-hmm. Is he still on the Kings?
Yep. No, he's with the 76ers now.
Oh, sorry. That's even worse. All right, anyway, here's the question. 12-team standard league. I'm in the final week of a two-week playoff, 46-point lead. I just need to maintain my lead. Don't need to do anything crazy. So for his second running back, he's going to start Adrian Peterson. Would it be crazy to start Jerick McKinnon just for safety over Jordan Matthews, Buck Allen, Cameron Artis Payne, or Mike Gillisley?
But I don't understand what this means in terms of safety. Like, you're trying to get negative points?
Like, here's the thing. McKinnon, who's come in and done well 2 weeks in a row, like, you got to understand the circumstances. Like, Peterson got hurt in one of them, and then they blew out the Giants in the other. He might not get a touch. He might get three touches in this game.
Yeah.
No, you can't do that. So who would you start? Matthews, Allen, Ryan Matthews, Buck Allen, Artis Payne, or Gillisley?
I would start, it's PPR?
No, standard.
I would go Artis Payne over Buck Allen.
So that's it for us, Jamie. What a year.
That's it?
Oh, I have to read the PS. PS, pretzel crust is horrible on pizza, but great with cheesecake. Try it.
I already got one tweet from somebody who listened to our Thursday podcast already,
mm-hmm.
and said that Zoe mic'd up would be the greatest thing ever.
I mean, she's just a fantastic pet. I'm excited to open the door and have her come in, because she gets really left out when I
close. Well, no, do it right now.
All right, hold on.
End of the show.
All right, hang on. Fill some time. Don't say anything that I have to edit out.
Okay, I won't say anything you have to edit out. I will say that the league where Adam cheated for his girlfriend, there's already been some complaints about your ethics in helping her achieve that fantastic victory. And I hope that you're back soon, because I'm tired of talking to myself. So I hope the audience is not completely bored by this. Yes. Thank you. Welcome back.
Thank you. No cat. Sorry.
What?
My girlfriend's up. If my girlfriend's up, she doesn't care about me. That's how it works.
Wow, interesting.
That's the cat, not the girlfriend, by the way.
So he's a one-woman girl.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Jamie, thank you for everything this year.
Thank you, Adam. You are once again and always will be the greatest host in the history of this podcast.
Yeah.
I miss working with you in person every day. I'm glad that I got to sit on this side of the computer to see your wonderful face today for Skype.
Yes, sir.
It's a highlight of my day. Happy New Year to you and your family, and Happy New Year and healthy, happy on New Year's to everybody that's listening. And we so greatly appreciate all of the love you show us.
Yes. Thank you. Happy New Year to you, Jamie. Happy New Year to everybody. And thank you all for listening. And Saturday Night Radio, Sunday Morning Fantasy Football Today. See you later.
Bye.